You're listening to episode 178 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we talk about the gift of wandering. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, my friends. How are you doing? I'm here in Oregon, helping to spread the gift of psilocybin to the lucky people of this state. You know, they had legislation passed here. So I'm here with the Integrative Psychiatry Institute and helping get things moving and shaking here in Oregon. Anyway, today I wanted to talk about the gift of wandering. And, you know, a lot of people will have a transformational experience, like an encounter with their soul purpose. And then they're like, well, what the fuck do I do now? Like on the Adventure Mastermind, people will have this insight about their unique purpose and then be like, okay, so does that mean I quit my job now? Hells no. First of all, never a good idea to make big life decisions within a month of a meditation retreat, a really powerful workshop or medicine journey. Just some sage advice there, okay? Like nothing within a month. Anyway, we can also add to that, we can do a lot of things to help get clear about what to truly commit ourselves to. We can wander. And in fact, for me, a lot of my career decisions came while wandering, being open to what the universe showed me. Like being a climbing guide for a decade never crossed my mind. I was on track to get my degree in psychology, then go to grad school for my PhD. But one day, a guy I was teaching a beginner's rock climbing course with, he was like, hey, you should apply to Outward Bound. I have never thought I could do that. But I applied and got the job. And that led to more jobs. And voila, 10 years as a climbing guide. Then I was wandering in the Himalayas with an ex, and we walked past these two women who asked if they could check our O2 sats. And while they were doing that, I asked, oh, what do you do? And they were like, we're nurse practitioners. And I asked more questions, asked about what school I should apply to. They said UCSF. So I did. And voila, nurse practitioner. Then while I was at UCSF, I was hanging out in the courtyard and I saw this group of cool humans I was really drawn to. And I wandered over to them and asked, hey, what are y'all up to? And they were midwifery students. And they were like, oh my gosh, you are in the wrong program. Because I was in the FNP program and they were like, come be a midwife. And I didn't write then, but I did a few years after practicing as an FNP. Then I worked at a migrant farm worker clinic. I was able to see entire families together, like all the family members and catching their babies. It was heaven, except I couldn't travel 3 to 4 months a year like I like to. So that's when I did an ice climbing clinic in Ouray, Colorado, and wandered into a group of women who signed up for a program with a life coach. And I was like, what's that? And I called that life coach up and asked where she studied, and voila, life coach. And on it went like that. So yes, wandering is the shit, y'all. The gift in this quest isn't just in discovering some definitive answer to what's next, but in the act of exploring options, living the question, embracing the journey of self-discovery. The poet Rainer Maria Rilke once said that we live the question, right? And this concept encourages us to engage with the mystery of our purpose instead of like anxiously searching for some predetermined answer, right? He invites us to get cozy with uncertainty and ambiguity instead of fearing them. Because these ambiguous spaces between questions and answers, between doubts and convictions, are where our most profound growth happens. Now, one of the things I was introduced to during my year-long apprenticeship with Bill Plotkin and Sage Magdalene is ETCs, or experiential threshold crossings. And now ETCs, they're like these practices, these kind of experiments for embodying our you know, Bill likes to use the term mythopoetic identity or soul purpose or however, what terms fit for you, okay? So it's a way of embodying this before we're quite ready to choose a delivery system for our unique soul purpose, you know? So this could be a career, a practice of creativity, a free offering to our community. But these experiments, these practices, while we're engaging in this wandering through these experiments, they reshape our ego so that it's a more effective channel for that identity. And they are the things we do during the metamorphosis stage of development. And I'll do a separate podcast episode on that soon, maybe even next week. But anyway, these ETCs bridge this transcendental experience we had, whatever it was, and this future delivery system to embody our soul as a gift to others. And this experimentation is so important to do because it helps with this embodiment. And if you remember from last week, when we revert back to our old ways after a transcendental experience, it's often because we haven't quite embodied the transformation yet. We haven't undergone the metamorphosis. Also, there's the simple truth that sometimes we need to get clear through action. I know, like many of you have heard me say that before. And actually, I found that most of the time, we need to get out of our heads and stop thinking that we can think our way to clarity and instead just get out there and do shit to get more clear. You know, someone can describe an avocado to you until they turn blue, but you won't truly know if you like it or not until you taste one. Someone can describe an orgasm to you, or you can read about it and think about it, but it won't ever be like actually experiencing one, ever. And I feel like this is when we can really embrace the gift of wandering, right? Because one of the most profound and enriching gifts we can give ourselves is the freedom to explore, to question, to check out all the different options that present themselves to us, right? Now, purpose, that can be a really heavy word. It can carry a lot of weight for many of us, and we long for it because often until it's clear, we can feel untethered, without direction, searching for direction. And, you know, purpose can be our North Star that helps us find meaning, find significance, helps us even make decisions, right? But because modern industrialized society isn't set up to help us discover that, instead, we're just churned through the education system and we're trained to be a good corporate worker bee, you know, it's elusive, right? This purpose, it's elusive. And that makes seeking our purpose this adventure and a potential source of deep suffering and frustration. It's just really hard to feel safe exploring purpose in modern industrialized society where it's actively trying to be suppressed, right? But if we're lucky enough to have a soul encounter or to have insight into what our soul purpose might be, our eco niche, how we fit into the greater cosmos even, then we start to have to figure out how to live it into the world, right? We may feel overwhelmed by options, which is a privilege really, right? To be consumed with obsessing about all the options, but it can be a source of suffering nonetheless. But it's in this kind of labyrinth of choices that I really started to resonate with Rilke's quote, you know, live the question. And I read some of Rilke's quote last week, but instead of like hurrying to seek some kind of all-encompassing purpose, Rilke encourages us to embrace ambiguity and uncertainty during this epic adventure. Because I mean, all adventure has that element of ambiguity and uncertainty, or it wouldn't be an adventure, right? And Rilke said, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. You know, when we're exploring our purpose, it's essential that we start asking lots of questions and good ones too, not just ones that keep us on the surface, right? And instead of rushing to answers, we want to try and savor the questions themselves. That's true exploration. And when we learn to live the question, we give ourselves the gift of curiosity, right? We view uncertainty and not knowing as an opportunity for growth and discovery. And every question is this potential portal to this new dimension of understanding, this new way of creating meaning. But as with most things worth investigating, there's a paradox, right? We can see a bunch of potential paths to walk down, but the pressure to choose just one can be overwhelming. And all you multi-passionates out there, I feel you. I'll put the episode I did on being a multi-passionate in the show notes. So check that out. But what if instead of being restricted to just like one choice, we allowed ourselves to explore all the things, right? What if we took the time to wander and explore? I had an adventure mastermind client who wasn't sure what to do next. And I said, what if you took the next year just to wander, to explore? And they were like, what the fuck? I can do that? Hells yes. I mean, this person, they still had a job and kids and all that shit. They were the primary breadwinner. So I don't mean to wander like a vagabond with a backpack, although that's an option for you if you want or can do that, right? Then take it. But we're so conditioned that wandering is not very helpful. There's resistance, right? We sort of judge wandering because it's often perceived as like purposeless meandering through life, right? So I think a lot of people have an aversion to it because it suggests the lack of direction. And I remember one of my mentors when I was a midwife, Linda Bruce, she gave me a necklace that said, all who wander are not lost. And that really touched me because I felt she really understood me, how I love to wander, but that for me, it had a purpose. I still have that necklace. So like that, what if we reconsidered wandering as a form of purpose in itself? What if the act of exploring without a predetermined destination had its own value? When we allow ourselves to wander, we gift ourselves the freedom to follow our instincts, to explore new territories, our relationships, our psyche, and to learn through experience. Wandering doesn't have to be aimless either, right? It can be more of a dance, to be open to what arises, which often leads to the unexpected, right? And these really delightful things, like what I discovered on the way. If I like was like, oh, I need to do this or find a way to do this, that it would have never happened. It was just wandering and being curious. Now, as for getting clear about our purpose, it's good to have a beginner's mind while we explore and not think of it like some static destination, right? It's a dynamic journey, a dance. Each season of our life, we have new options, new challenges. And to live the question also means to adapt to those different seasons, to shift when life does. You know, the skandhas of life, the ebb and flow, the expansion and contraction, because our understanding of our purpose can evolve. And this ensures that we don't get stuck in some kind of rigid box of goals, right? We're more flexible, more resilient, we're open to opportunities. And having this beginner's mind also helps us discover the ability to reinvent ourselves and our purpose as new things come up, right? This helps us discover our authentic selves. So many of us haven't even had a chance to know our authentic selves. It's a big source of grief sometimes, you know, on journeys, this realization, oh, I don't even know what I want. And we were often shut down before we got to intimately know our authentic selves. But living the question has us constantly examining our goals, our desires, our aspirations, so that we're in this kind of continuous process of discovery. And this helps us tap into our deepest intentions, values, desires. So this is a more authentic and meaningful life, right? So instead of getting stuck in preconceived ideas of purpose, living the question allows us to adapt and evolve as we gain new insights and experiences. And that keeps us in alignment with our evolving sense of self. You know, I found this was actually is so true for me because I'm still peeling away layers of conditioning to discover even more layers of authenticity that lie deeper than I ever imagined. And it's a really cool process. Even if it means I have to redo my website every few years because it stops feeling like me as I peel away those layers. But Rilke also said, be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart. And I think this patience extends to our perspective about our purpose. Like when we let go of the idea that our purpose has to be defined by external standards, then this is a more profound and personal understanding of meaning that opens up our unique ecological niche, right? This frees us from comparison, expectation. We stop seeking to fulfill the dreams of others, but to live authentically our purpose. And again, you know, purpose isn't career. You know, I feel like when people say, oh, but I don't have the luxury of having a job where I get to create art or something. I strongly believe that our purpose is not in our career, but in how we show up in the world. And sometimes these experiments involve exploring different careers, but it's also like, ooh, can I embody this when I'm in the grocery store checking out, you know, and talking to the person who's ringing up my groceries? Can I embody this when I'm waiting for a bus or whatever it might be? Now, our wandering to explore our purpose isn't this one-time thing either. It's a longer process of becoming, of metamorphosis. So for me, it took years to get to the level of clarity where I'm at now, but it's still been a hell of a ride that whole time. You know, it's not that we're sitting in some kind of bardo during this whole time of doing experiments. We're actually experiencing what it's like to embody different things. And we get feedback from our people and our own bodies about what something was like. Like, yeah, you know, that time you tried working in that clinic with no windows. Yeah, fuck that. Body said no. But that time you were in the refugee camp and wish you had windows. Now that was a fuck yeah experience, right? So we also have to remember that we don't have to just pick one thing or be stuck with one thing forever. Sometimes delivery systems like people are only in our lives for a season, whether that season is a few days or weeks or months or years. In the end, I found that our purpose unfolds over time. And it tends to weave together the threads of our whole life's journey, all our prior meaningful experiences. Like what I did next always seemed to take some threads from what I did before. And now with what I do now, I can see how all my life experiences fit into this. From my stoner partying teen years that introduced me to LSD when I was 15, right? To being a climbing guide, to massage therapist, then midwife, and then yoga teacher, life coach, functional medicine practitioner, integrative psychiatry. It goes on and on. They're all still absolutely alive in me. And this process gives us permission to evolve, to make mistakes, and to grow. We learn to appreciate the imperfections, the detours, and we begin to recognize, oh, this is actually necessary on my journey. So patience in the process is the key that unlocks the door to the wandering, to the exploration, and action is the step we take through that door. So living the question is this dance between patience and action. We patiently ask, inquire, reflect, and then we take inspired action to bring our purpose to life. Balancing patience and action allows us to navigate our purpose with intention and commitment, right? We learn to discern when to pause and when to move forward. Wandering allows us plenty of opportunity to expand our comfort zones too, right? And that helps us encounter the unexpected because we're often doing things that we may not have considered before, like my venture into becoming a nurse practitioner after my expedition in the Himalayas, right? Just hiking around. And when we expand our comfort zone, we also build resilience. Living the question requires us to confront moments of doubt, uncertainty, fear. But it's within those challenges that we cultivate resilience, right? This resilience enables us to adapt to the craziness of life, to all the changes and the setbacks. So living the question helps us persevere through difficult times. And then we have this capacity to face adversity with resilience and grace because we know, through this is when I'm growing the most. Now, when we live the question, we also need to embrace the idea that it's perfectly okay not to have all the answers And this is an act of self-compassion. We learn to treat ourselves with kindness, with understanding, which is so important if we're living the question, right? It provides this support, this nurturing support that allows us to face uncertainty and ambiguity without losing our shit, without self-criticism. And the self-compassion counterbalances the doubt and the fear that comes up so that we can keep moving forward. Now, it's important to also remember that ultimately, our individual exploration of purpose is interwoven with collective humanity. You know, as we live the question, we contribute to our people and the planet. Our discoveries, insights, and actions become threads that enrich the collective narrative. It goes beyond what's my role in society to what's my role, my gift to humanity, to non-human beings, to the planet. It goes beyond humans alone. Okay, so can you see how wandering is the bomb diggity, right? The concept of live the question by Rilke encourages us to explore the gift of having these options for our purpose. It's a gift to have these options, to not know. It's a gift. It's an invitation to embrace uncertainty, to question and to savor the mysteries of life, you know, and through this, we can find, hey, our purpose isn't some fixed destination, but this journey, ever evolving journey. You know, Bill's in his 70s and he's like still uncovering deeper layers too, you know? So it's like we can have these soul encounters that give us this amazing, fulfilling chapter, and then we can go even deeper, or it evolves. So we balance patience and action. We appreciate the power of perspective. We value the process of becoming and discovering our authentic selves, right? But how do we incorporate this living the question into our daily lives? I could go on and on about this, but just to start with, you can consider shadowing someone in a field you're interested in. You can ask yourself, what do I need to know to make this more clear? Like, how many days a week? Do I need to go back to grad school? Can I do this in the state I live? Find the answer so you don't waste time wondering instead of wandering. I think a lot of people get stuck in, but I don't know. Well, then find out and then fucking let's get wandering, okay? You can hold a free 2-hour class on a topic you're passionate about. Then try a day-long workshop. Maybe you even charge a little for it, right? And also seek out feedback during the duration of your wandering. If you hear something wasn't so great for your people, awesome. Next, right? Try it with a different group or make some tweaks or just let it go. Introduce yourself to others as the new role you're experimenting with and see how it feels. But practice too, because it's often like super awkward at first. I remember the first time I was telling people like, hi, I'm a life coach. Like, oh, bleh. It's made me want to throw up, right? You gotta practice. You also want to plan time to adventure and meet new people and have conversations. You never know what will arise. You know, I like to wake up. I remember during this whole phase of my life, I would wake up and just, I'm so excited to discover more about my purpose, to understand it at a deeper level and just try to be so open to what was going to show up, right? Which kind of leads into be curious, right? Asking questions, exploring new interests. And if you can afford to, take lots of different workshops or classes to explore different topics related to your insights about your purpose, but also don't just consume, create, right? Create works of art, create things for your community, create experiences, conversations, prompts of, you know, to questions to ask people at a dinner table, right? We want to start to embody and have a felt experience of this too. And then it's also helpful to allow time to reflect and for insight to arise. You know, this can be on a meditation retreat, daily quiet time, longer term program like the Adventure Mastermind, because that reflection time is built in, or even a solo camping trip, right? We often don't take the time to reflect and let the small, still voice inside us be heard. Yeah. So that's what I've got for you this week, Rebel Ones, you know? An invitation to get out there and wander. And remember that not all who wander are lost. And if you're feeling lost, that's totally cool too, because the goal is to live the question and get comfortable with not knowing the answers, right? And through this, we arrive at clarity. Through this, we can be stepping closer to our dreams every time. And remember, this can take years, sometimes two, sometimes less, sometimes more. But be patient and just pick one of the things I mentioned earlier to try over the next week, and then add another if you'd like. But whatever you do, keep wandering. If you like what you heard, spread the love and share it. And if you want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, check out rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist training kit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, and more. That's rebelbuddhist.com.